Brilliance Audio presents The Truth in Our Lies by Eliza Graham. Performed by Rachel Beresford. April 1943. We ran along the track into the shadow of the trees. Ahead of us, another footpath cut in from the right, forming a crossing over which the boughs bent low. The crows cawed, their straggly black feathers flapping like mourning clothes. Some of the birds dropped to the ground. Others landed in the lowest branches of the trees, showing no fear of us. Through my mind ran the word for a group of crows. A murder. The gloom wrapped itself around us, the trees blocking the morning sun. Even the sheets of bluebells seemed oppressed, their vivid blue dulled to grey. We turned down the track to the right. My legs pulled me onwards, over the dead leaves, towards the pond. I knew what we would find there before we saw it. 1. December 1942. His hair was too oiled, his suit too sharp. I noted the man easing into the refreshment room at Liverpool Street Station as one to cold shoulder. Too late. He was already coming over to stand on my left, proffering his cigarette case as I examined the dried-out scones on the counter. Without a word, I turned to look at him, raising my veil so he had a clear view of the right side of my face too. He snapped the case shut and gave me a mouthful of Anglo-Saxon. As he walked out, the soles of his shoes beat out a brisk indignation at having been tricked by a female who'd seemed, from one side, worthy of his attentions. "I've changed my mind about the scone." I paid the cashier for the tea, the familiar mixture of malice and shame curdling inside me as I swayed my way through the crowd to a table with my tray. I was returning to my RAF station from leave over Christmas. It seemed half of London was on the move too. An attempt had been made to decorate the refreshment room for Christmas, but the paper chains were ungluing themselves in the soggy atmosphere. Several had already unravelled and dangled limply from pins stuck into the paintwork. A wag had pinned a small dried-out sausage underneath Father Christmas's nose in the poster on the wall. He looked like a bearded, jollier Hitler. The middle-aged woman sharing my table peeked at my exposed right cheek when she thought I wasn't looking. The skin had lost some of its redness now, and was stiffer than it had been in the weeks after the fire. If I touched the cheek, the scar tissue didn't feel like part of me, but like something stuck onto my face. I stared into the cup of murky liquid.
"Anna Hall,"
a deep male voice said. Alexander Beatty materialised like Mephistopheles out of the fog of cigarette smoke and steam from the cafe's tea urn. Except, I'd always imagined Faust's demon as a finely drawn, nimble figure, whereas Beatty had heft. The station buffet seemed to shrink now he was standing in it. Not only did he look larger than most people here, his face lacked the winter grey weariness most of us exhibited.
"Belated Merry Christmas. What are you up to these days?"
His pupils dilated. He'd seen the scar on my face. WAAF. I hated myself for sounding surly, but I didn't want him to ask me any questions about my face. I watched him for a further reaction, but saw nothing in his smooth features.
"Bombers, I imagine, if you're heading to East Anglia," he said in a low voice.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?